Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. No matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. Hey there, men. It is good to be with you today on the Holy Man podcast. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. As we journey together on this great journey of becoming holy men, finding that blessed life that comes. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, we've been going through these attributes as Gene Getz shares them in the book called The Measure of a Man, the attributes that Paul, the Apostle Paul, shared with Timothy and Titus in their two books. Of attributes that we should be aspiring to, that we should be longing for in our lives as we grow in our faith, you know, towards leadership in the church, opportunities to lead our families in different ways. So, you know, these are attributes of God. Now, so before we get into the topic today, though, I want to take a moment to make sure that we get how these attributes are grown in our lives. If we try to do these things completely on our own, by our own works, good luck with that, guys. It would be one step forward and 50 steps back because Satan is too good at our jobs. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. You know, it's God's grace by the power of the Holy Spirit that these are grown by us getting to know God more and surrendering those things that are not right yet to God and allowing the Spirit to change the way we think and to move forward into these attributes. Are there things that we do as part of that journey? Well, of course there are. I mean, we keep reading His Word. We meet with our life groups. We are praying regularly. We come to worship. We are, you know, practicing the serving that we do. Yes, we're partners in this. God writes our story with us. As we surrender our lives and walk with God, He changes us. Isn't it so cool that the Creator of the universe wants to hang out with us? All-powerful, all-present, knowing, yet God, you want to hang out with me? Billions of people in this world, yet God wants, by the power of His Holy Spirit, to hang out with me, hang out with you, and transform and change us. Guys, it is grace. God loved me and you enough to write the Bible. God loves us enough to have conversations with us. God cares enough that He gave us a great life group to hang out with, an amazing congregation to journey with. Man, grace. Guys, we don't deserve any of this, but God in His grace loves us unconditionally, and He blesses us with all these things to help us grow these attributes and make our lives better. All right, let's move on. I hope you get that, guys. It's so important because I don't want you beating your head against the wall, trying to do it on your own. Trust God. Give your life to God. Seek God. Get to know Him and allow His grace. All right, let's move on. I want to see this next attribute. It's a big one. And of course, they all are. You know, Paul tells Timothy and Titus that we should all be allowing the Holy Spirit to grow this one in us. And today, that one is the idea of being just or upright. The Greek word is dikaios, which means just. And there's two ways that it is used in the Bible and at different times. The first way is the understanding is to become just describes what happens when we are saved. And the second way then is to be just describes the way we should live after we are saved. So, okay, very quickly, the first one again is being saved, being born again. Being just because of our faith means that as we place our faith in Christ and receive the gift of what Jesus did on the cross for us, paying our price and in taking our place in death, God the Father now looks at us through the righteousness of Jesus. We are just and righteous because of Jesus, because of his price, because of him wiping our sins out of the picture. It has nothing to do with how good we think we are, but completely dependent on the holiness of Jesus. That's what it, when you hear the phrase being justified by grace through faith, that's what we're talking about. Jesus did it all for us in making us just. And so the Father sees us differently because of Jesus. Make sense? I hope so. If not, talk about it in your life group. Let's get a handle on that a little bit. And then the other one is, now because we are saved, because we are made just because of what Jesus did, we now move forward into this life following Jesus and being just to others or sharing justice with others. Because we are justified by grace, we now live in a just way. Justice. Okay, make sense? All right, what does it look like? Well, to get a good understanding of what this looks like as we follow Jesus and how we interact with others, let's look at one of the stories, the great stories of Jesus out there. It's one of my favorite stories. I got so many favorite stories in the Bible, but it's a really good one. And it's probably one that if you've studied the scriptures at all, you might have heard this one a little bit. It's out of John chapter 4, and it's a story of Jesus interacting with the Samaritan woman. So starting in chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way to Galilee. I think he was being intentional with this. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. So it's the middle of the day. It was probably hot. And there he sits and he rests. Now, some of us are aware because of some of the other teachings by Jesus that him being there in Samaria near where Samaritan people would be is not a good thing for Jewish people like Jesus. The Samaritans were a group of people who were considered, unclean? Or people with cooties is a good way to say it. You would need to dig a little bit back into the Bible story when the Jewish people were being taken into exile to see why the Samaritans were considered to be outcasts or people that we don't want to be near or interact with. But they were. They were people that we wanted to stay away from if you were Jesus and the other Jewish people. But probably intentionally, Jesus was here and he was sitting in a place that he surely knew that this story was about to unfold. We continue. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Now, here's where you're going to see the woman is fully aware of the separation that there was between the two groups of people. She knew that Jesus being a Jew and her being a Samaritan, that a normal situation would be that they would not have an interaction. Probably the Jewish man would have got up and walked away while she was there at the well so that they didn't have to interact. But that's not what happened. We continue. Verse 9. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. So she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. So Jesus gets beyond the racism, beyond the sexism, beyond the Samaritanism and any other ism that's out there that would normally separate these two and to cause Jesus to look down at her. He gets so beyond that. Jesus is going to look beyond it and simply see the broken woman who had lots of worth and potential in the kingdom of God because he created her and he knows her. That's what the kairos is. That's what Paul is meaning when he says we should be just. We look at each person who passes by and we see each one of them as a creation of God, who God loves and who Jesus gave his life for on the cross. And therefore, we treat each of them as if we were Jesus or if we were treating Jesus. The two of them go on to have a great conversation with Jesus helping her to see her great worth when she has been battered and bruised by life. We're going to drop down. And you can go check that conversation out in chapter 4 if you want to see some of what that interaction, if you don't know it. It's a great conversation that Jesus has in sharing good news with her. But dropping down to verse 25, we see how it begins to come to a close. It says, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. He tells her, the person who the world says, Jesus, you should stay away from. And instead, he shares life with her and he shares the good news with her in a huge way. This is, the world says, so much that Jesus should not be doing this, but he's just. He treats her fairly. He treats her as if he would be treating one of his own disciples. See what happens here now. Verse 27, he said, just then the disciples came back and they were shocked. Did you hear that? The disciples were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I had ever done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. First of all, did you see what the disciples were thinking? They were thinking unjust thoughts. The kairos was not in their mind at that time. They might not have said it, but a woman and a Samaritan woman, Jesus, what in the world are you doing? You should not be having this conversation. That's what the disciples were thinking. They were thinking she is so far below us and outcast from us that there is no way we should be interacting with her, let alone be sharing good news with her. The disciples had not yet allowed the grace of God to show them and teach them what a just life looks like. But the good news is they're with Jesus. The good news is they're learning from Jesus. And so eventually they would get this by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they would get right with this, but not yet. So we continue. Meanwhile, it says in verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you see it? Because of how he treated the woman by considering her as worthy as the disciples themselves were, he lifted her up to do great things. And he himself, Jesus, was just blessed. Oh, he was on cloud 9, as we might say it. You know, guys, there's a lot of injustice in the world. Always has been, probably always will be. The world, well, always, that means until Jesus comes back. The world is really good at teaching us to treat some people well and other people less than. And usually there is one of those isms attached to it. But Jesus shows us that the color of our skin, which part of town we're from, what we drive, what sex we are, and in this generation, what we identify as. We are still, each of us, created by God, and therefore we should see each person from God's point of view. Jesus didn't just die for certain people. He didn't just give his life up for only certain ones and certain parts of town or certain colors of skin. He died so that the world, Jesus gave his life for all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that is inclusive of everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You know, this one is not easy, guys. You know, it's so easy to allow CNN or Fox News or some other news channel to lead us to think a certain way about a certain grouping of people. Social media is amazing at leading us to be tempted to think harshly about certain kinds of people. TV shows, movies, they are so good at making our minds think that a certain kind of person is not who God created them to be, and that we should think less of them and separate ourselves from them to treat them unfairly and unjust. But Paul shares a warning for us. Stay focused on Jesus and his ways of encountering each person who he created. See them all through the eyes of the cross. Treat each person that we come in contact with fairly and with justice. And how do we do this? Grace. By allowing the Holy Spirit of God to change the way we think from the world's point of view to a heavenly point of view. And as this happens, guys, we, like Jesus, will be blessed. God will lift us up and bless us by as we have opportunities to just pour life into others and even those who the world says we should not. We'll be blessed the same way that Jesus is. It's through grace. And as this happens, we will continue on our journey of becoming holy men.